Civilization Project.
You can live your life in a crowded city. You can walk along.
Welcome back, everyone. The fight for HIV AIDS prevention and treatment is a critical social justice struggle. Low-income communities of color, and particularly inside the Black community, which faces increased rates of infection and limited access to preventive care and medicines. And today we're joined, you know, this is an important discussion that I think often is not discussed. And so today we're going to be joined by Walt Centerfit. He's National Board Chair of CHAMP, the Community HIV AIDS Mobilization Project, who organizes for prevention policies that attack the root causes driving that epidemic, including looking at issues like poverty, racism, homophobia, and gender-based violence. Welcome, Walt, to the show. We're pleased to have you on.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
On one hand, you know, I want you to talk about your own history. We met a year ago. You talked a lot about your long commitment in the struggle for civil rights, queer rights, workers' rights. And over the last 20 years, you've taken really seriously this struggle against this genocidal epidemic of HIV/AIDS.
Right. I started out by growing up in the apartheid era South, and at a time when I, as a white kid, was by law prohibited from going to school with Black students, and as well as enjoying any other kind of social equality in town or equal access to things. And I just happened to see this early on as something that was wrong and should be fought against. And so started trying to organize Black and white high school students together back around the late 50s and early 60s in North Florida. So since then, it's kind of been a touchstone that's grown from one thing to another. But the fight for, in solidarity with and support of Black liberation in the U.S. always has struck me as the touchstone defining social reality for the U.S. And so it's probably not surprising that then working through many movements and at the same time as a gay man who has seen dozens of friends killed by this epidemic and by the failure of a government response, and as someone who was scientifically trained and as a nurse and then later in public health, this seemed to be the place where I could bring together my personal history with an urgent need of a social justice and broader historical perspective to fighting the AIDS epidemic. Because HIV isn't just a virus, it's a manifestation of social equality. It thrives and has grown both domestically and internationally, and still, despite a lot of advances, exists today, primarily and most virulently in communities and in settings where a variety of social burdens and injustice exist. And so I personally helped found CHAMP 4 years ago with Julie Davids from Philadelphia and several other people on the East Coast as an organizing center to try to rebuild and strengthen the progressive roots of an HIV/AIDS movement in this country and link it up with other progressive social struggles, because we can't conquer HIV without attacking the root causes.
Well, Walt, let's talk about that, because I think, you know, while I don't want to spend too much time in a long sort of, you know, history of the HIV/AIDS movement in, you know, in terms of resistance against it, I know you had some level of involvement with ACT UP, and as an organizer, when you look at the major campaigns, ACT UP and the experience and the amazing breakthrough in capturing the imagination and actually shifting debate and policy was a major breakthrough in the movement. And, you know, now if we look at 15, 20 years later, I used to work at a free clinic out here in Pico Union, Clinica para las Americas, who was doing some very amazing breakthrough work around HIV prevention and education. And yet it seemed that there was a big divide between a movement that actually was able to shift debate and one that was actually only doing prevention, which was very important. But at the end of the day, are we losing the war in some ways?
I think in some ways we are. We've won, and I think, you know, it's a contradictory and complex picture, and we shouldn't lose sight of any part of it. As you say, ACT UP was a movement. The AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power brought together the experiences of various civil rights movement and the women's health movement, and a commitment to militant direct action to shift, to grab public attention and shift the focus of the debate. And it was successful in that. And I think it was one of the primary reasons why there was a rapid acceleration of research, and furthermore, research that was willy-nilly, not always willingly, accountable to the community, because we were in there watching what the scientists were doing, watching what questions were being prioritized, watching how money was being allocated. And that led more or less directly to the successes, so that now for people that have access to care, the life expectancy of someone who is getting infected today is about 40 years versus 5 to 10 years when the epidemic started. Mm-hmm. And that's an amazing record of progress. But it's not simply medical progress that happened in a vacuum. Mm-hmm. It's progress that happened only because of social pressure. And furthermore, then what began to happen is that that it was not equally accessible to everybody, both, you know, internationally especially, and even domestically. More than 50% of people don't have effective access to the most effective life-saving treatments now. And as we demanded a government response, the flip side of that, the underside of that, is that we created a government bureaucracy so that most people who were doing HIV work moved from the streets into clinics, into government organizations, with all of the political restrictions that were imposed as a part of the process, especially on prevention. And that's part of what we have to unlock and mm-hmm. unleash now, is things like, I mean, ordinary things like just that abstinence doesn't work, but yet that's being promoted by law with an amazing proportion of the government's prevention money. That condoms and clean needles do work and are not effectively provided to large segments of the population who need them. Let alone, we haven't yet developed new technologies. I mean, things like microbicides and pre-exposure prophylaxis and a vaccine that we need in terms of prevention. But despite all of those, a lot of parts of prevention aren't going to be successful, because it's not the individual behavior alone or just the virus, but it's the social conditions under which people live. Mm-hmm. One way to illustrate that, and one of the things that we're working on, is prisons. 25% of the people with HIV have been or are under the control of the so-called criminal justice system mm-hmm. in the country. But yet, less than 5% of the state and county jails and 10% of the federal prisons have any kind of HIV prevention programs or services. And then people come out of prisons without access to housing, employment, education, and are very likely to go back in. This has boomerang and multiplying effects on communities, especially communities of color. So what we would say is that we have to fight for not just effective prevention using the science we have in prisons and upon release from prison, but we have to look at shrinking the whole prison industrial complex, mm-hmm. which is another word for the criminal justice system, in the first place, mm-hmm. through things like sentencing reform and alternatives to incarceration.
Right, absolutely. With 2.3 million people in prisons in this country, that's a huge civil rights and human rights. So let's talk a little bit about where CHAMP wants to go. One of the things that I see a lot is you both have an international perspective, and yet, as you were saying, you looked at the central question around particularly the epidemic inside the Black community as it being a very central aspect of raising demands against the government. Talk about some of your demands and, you know, what's the game plan and how people can get involved. We have about another 5 minutes, and it'd be great for you to give folks that information.
Some of the demands that we are raising are being sharpened not just by us, but by a whole coalition of community groups that we have helped catalyze in conjunction with a thing that we call the prevention justice mobilization. We call our concept of HIV prevention through social justice, we call it prevention justice, where we have to link the public health aspects of HIV prevention with the social justice fights. And so we're having a prevention justice mobilization this fall that has already involved 100 different local organizations that will be coming together both locally around World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, with a prevention justice focus this year, and then the following week, December 3rd through 6th in Atlanta, where the CDC, Centers for Disease Control, and the other federal agencies are having a conference that they have every 2 years on sort of the state of the art about HIV prevention. And we're going to use an inside and outside approach at that conference coming off of these regional and local mobilizations to put demands that are still being formulated, but some of the things that have been raised are cut the number of new infections in this country by 50% within 5 years. Right now, the CDC is just releasing data that it looks like not 40,000, but 50,000 people are being infected anew every year. Cut that to under 25,000 within 5 years. Reduce the disproportionate impact on the African American and Latino communities within 5 years. Provide prevention services and reduce post-release encumbrances to people that are incarcerated. Make available condoms and clean needles to everybody in this country that needs it. And fight for a prevention research agenda that arises from the real needs of people who are on the front lines in the communities and is accountable to it. So we're excited that a number of people around the country are mobilizing around this kind of agenda, and specifically saying, and this is important, that the process of building the movement and linking HIV and AIDS to other social justice issues and implanting the importance of fighting for HIV and AIDS prevention justice within other social movements is a key task for this mobilization and this movement. And secondly, the key part of it is that we want to rise above just fighting for, like, my community needs more money. No, your community needs more money. Your community gets too much. That we have to rise above that and demand fundamental policy changes and more money for the whole fight.
We have about another minute. How can people get a hold of you and get a hold of CHAMP?
People can look at our website, which is champnetwork.org, just champnetwork.org. They can write or call me locally, WSENTERFIT at AOL.com, or they can call 323-953-8501. That's our local office, 323-953-8501. And I would be delighted, and we would be delighted to link people up or to provide more information or to come out and make presentations to community groups about concrete ways in which people can link up with this mobilization.
Well, thank you, Walter Centerfit. He's National Board Chair of the Community HIV-AIDS Mobilization Project, CHAMP. And we'll take a short break, and we'll be back with our next guest, our anti-war activist, Cindy Sheehan.